Blog Talk Radio.
And oh, you're gonna love me. You're gonna wanna hug me and squeeze me
for the
love.
Love.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a beautiful Wednesday. It was snowing like it was raining here today, but it still was a beautiful day. Okay, we're going to get right on to the show. Of course, you know, on Delicious Talk, we pride ourselves on bringing sexy back every Wednesday night about this time. But how can we even begin to bring sexy back without talking about the root of it all, and that's love? Our guest has a book due out soon called The Sickness We Call Love, Poems of Love, Lust, and Eliminations, which is filled with passion that captures the beauty and turbulence of love. So tonight, I'm very proud to bring you a very special guest who has penned over 1,200 poems. Some have been published on poetry sites and in poetry anthologies. She's also written 25 short stories. In addition to being a writer, our guest is also a painter and a poet extraordinaire who hails from Atlanta, Georgia. She's attained her BA in English from Clark Atlanta University and a Master of Divinity in Interdenominational Theological Center. But I'm sure her greatest accomplishment is being a happily married mother. So please help me in welcoming Miss Violetta Mira to the night show. And I'm going to bring her on in a second, but I'm going to bring on my co-hosts. Okay, let me see here. I'm sorry, Blog Talk is messing up at a time like this. Okay, all my co-hosts there, Rhea, Danny,
evening,
and Pink Bunny.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm fantastic, and yourself?
I'm good. I'm on the bus on my way home, so I'm going to put you on mute in between me talking.
Okay, hon, that's good. Pink Bunny, are you there?
Hello, Delicious. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I certainly can.
All right. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic.
Wonderful. Hello, everyone.
Good. Danny?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, without further ado, I'm quite sure you girls heard the introduction to our guest tonight, Miss Violette Mira. And we're going to be discussing her book and talking about love. Without further ado, I'm going to bring Miss Mira on. Hello, Violette.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Great, great. It's a pleasure to be invited to your show.
Hello.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Hi, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
Okay, so I see that you have a book. This book is called The Sickness We Call Love. Can you expound on that a little bit and tell us a little bit about this book and what led to you titling your book, The Sickness of Love?
Well, this volume of poetry called The Sickness We Call Love, I actually penned the majority of these poems when I was going through a very turbulent relationship. But through it all, I'm an extreme hopeless romantic. And, of course, I'm happily married now. So love is like a beauty. It's a curse. It's passion is a plague. It's everything. And you can't expect it to be one thing without the other. And sometimes you have to go through things and to find out what real love is. And sometimes it's just a sickness. You just can't. It's almost like a drug addiction. You can't get away from it. It's something that you just have to have once you experience it, no matter, you know, the ups and downs, goods and bads, until you find your good and stay there.
Okay. You mentioned that the good about it and the bad about it. So can you tell us just what true love is your interpretation of what true love is and how you can equate that with sickness as well, as like an addiction.
Well, true love, for me, starts with a great respect for another person. It's such a high respect and regard for someone that it's really like, I'm a Christian person. So when, you know, Christ tells us to love each other like we love ourselves, when you truly love someone, you don't do anything to another person you don't want done to you. So you hold another person in such high regard that the relationship that you build between each other is sacred, and you don't want anyone to interfere with this beautiful thing that you have built. Mm-hmm. Now, the sickness part of love is that sometimes we make an effort to do that, and sometimes others fall short, and sometimes we fall short. And sometimes we call things love that are not love, and that is the sickening part about it. Sometimes passion and infatuation can feel like love. Sometimes, you know, just the wrong things about someone, excitement, can feel like love. But you really don't know what it is until you really latch on to what real love is, and then you realize the flaw of what you've done before.
Okay, when did love and lust become synonymous, and when did the lines get blurred?
Love and lust is not synonymous, but to many people it is, because what happens is people don't understand when the most you can give someone is your body. I mean, that's the, when you let someone into your body, that, what else can you do greater than that? And so when you give yourself freely to other people, you don't realize that you're giving yourself a part of them and you're putting their imprint on you. And so what happens is you don't really see the person clearly. All you see is, he makes me feel good. He's so handsome. He's so funny. And you don't really get to know that person. Because I don't think you can truly love someone until you know the good and bad, the beauty and the ugly of that person, and you still feel the exact same way. And what happens in lust is you just get swept up in the moment. You get swept up in, you know, the urgency of it, the newness of it, and it's like, oh my God, he's so great, but you don't know anything about this person. And the love sets in is when you see this person, you see the real person, you smell their bad breath in the morning, you see their bad habits, they see yours, and you're human, and you're raw, and you're real, and they still look at you like he's the most beautiful person in the world, and you still look at him like he's the perfect person for me. That's when real love comes in. But lust is everything before then. It's just the idea of that person. It's what you think he is, not what he is. You know how sometimes we women like to imagine how it is. We make these stories up in our heads, even though none of this stuff is transpiring.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Like, I need to read this book. I feel the exact same way, like you took the words out of my mouth. I always thought it was just me growing up on Disney movies to having that Cinderella fairy tale ending, you know, and, you know, what Disney promises as a little girl. I see that and I'm thinking, wow, that's how it is. All right, word.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not.
I think
no,
love
it's not.
Is simple and hard. I mean, you have to just find someone who wants love just like you do and see love the same way. I'm not saying it's one way. One right way to love someone. But what you have to, the key is to find someone who sees love the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a person who sees love as an adventure and then you marry somebody who just wants slow and steady win the race, that's problematic from the beginning.
Right. That is true. And then that's when problems will set in.
Yeah. You have to find someone like you, be of like mind.
Right. So let me ask you this. Some people say love hurts. Now, I think if love is love, love is not supposed to hurt. So can you explain, or is there an explanation to that sentiment that people say love hurts?
Love can hurt. I think the hurting part of love to me is the process of forgiving wrong. But I think when love is true, it shouldn't hurt so bad, because what happens is when you have a great respect for someone, you don't do things that's going to destroy another person. Even though you have the power to destroy that person, mm-hmm. you just don't do it because you can't imagine. You love that person too much to put them through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe, and this is my opinion, people feel differently. Like when people, I believe in fidelity. And when people say, well, you know, I cheated, it was a mistake. I don't feel that it's a mistake. Because
right.
you really love and respect someone. I know the way I feel about my husband. And it's not the fact, I would never cheat on him for the simple fact that I love him. And I love the way our relationship feels sacred. And even if he never found out about it, I would know. And to me, that would eat me up inside that I kiss this man every day and I've done something wrong.
Right.
And that's love. And I believe that men have that same capacity for women. And I think sometimes in our society, which is unfortunate, women allow men to cheat because they say, oh, that's what men do. And so
right.
men just negate responsibility and just say, okay, well, if she say that's what we do, I might as well do it. But it's not love and it's not respect.
Right. That is true. That is so true, because anytime a woman accepts a man cheating, you know, there's no love there. There's no trust there, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to be with that woman, it just shows how he feels about her, which is he doesn't have any feelings about her. Because how can you be with somebody, love them, and be cheating on them? You know, and I see this. Pardon?
Sorry, go ahead.
I see this on these shows where you know, men, they cheat on their girlfriend, and then they say, well, you know, I really love you. I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry, and can we start over? And to me, it's basically left up to the woman. But if my husband, now I'm just using this theoretically because I'm not married, but if I was married and my husband cheated on me, granted, I may give him another chance, you know, because maybe I still love him and want things to work out. But the second time, it's a done deal. You know, you could, you know, like the saying goes, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you. So, you know, I just feel that when a person cheats on you and do all kind of things opposed to the other side of love, then it's not good. That's not a good relationship. It's not love. And people who keep professing that I love you once they cheated on you, went outside the marriage and had children, and then expect you to forgive them, you know, that's not love.
No,
and a lot of,
I think the hurt come in when we have expectations that are outside the boundaries of what's before us. When you accept and look at somebody and deal with somebody for exactly who they are, a lot of times we don't put those broad expectations there, and that hurt is not as much, and piggybacking off exactly what was said before. Because the respect and everything else is there, that person is not going to set out to do anything that would hurt that person.
Yeah. And I think, in all fairness, I think one thing about just sidebar and just talking about fidelity, I believe that everyone is human and everyone have temptations. But the respect for your partner in knowing yourself well, you don't put yourself in certain positions. Like, I am the type of woman that I'm not blind. I see handsome men all the time.
Right.
However, if a handsome man is hitting on me, I'm not going to go to lunch with him. I'm not going to let him buy me gifts. Because when you start doing this, even though you say, oh, it's just lunch, what you're doing, you're opening the door. You're curious.
Right.
And so you can't say 6 months from now, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. Oh, yes, you did, because 6 months before, you opened the door.
Right.
And
then that's when
you
catch.
You were tempted. You was curious.
Right, and that's when those feelings become involved, because eventually
yeah.
you're going to develop some type of emotional attachment to that person, and then that's when the infidelity creeps in, and then you know, you're out there. So you're right. You don't put yourself in those predicaments when it comes down to you see a good-looking man and he waves to you. There's nothing wrong with saying hello, but, you know, when he approaches you, you know, kind of take you out to dinner, let him know I'm married and I don't do that, you know.
Yeah, you keep
so,
it moving.
Right, but you have these women that they see a guy, another guy, and, you know, they may be having problems at home with their husband, and they may not. They may just see a guy, and they look good to him, and they want to, you know, test the waters, and they go out and do it, then they go back home to their husband and feel they're guilty. That is something that I don't like. I don't like that guilty feeling. So
yeah.
That's why I don't put myself in that position when I'm in relationships to, you know, have that guilt feeling over me if I've cheated. And I've been in relationships and I've never cheated on a mate that I've been in a relationship with, even though they've cheated on me, you know, because I felt that I really loved the person. But when they took my trust and crushed it, you know, it was a whole different story.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm trying to beat the clock.
Background. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. It's all about respecting a person and trusting a person and want to have a free conscience. Because the thing is, people don't understand. If you have a good relationship with somebody, the smallest thing, you're already cheating. I don't like to be hiding anything. Like, my husband can pick up my phone. I have my husband's passwords for everything. It's no secret about anything. The minute your phone ring and a look of dread goes over your face, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because now you're hiding stuff. I mean, what's wrong?
Right. And I had asked a friend of mine, you know, just questioning them. I said, if you had a girlfriend and both of you had a social network, I said, would you give her your password and would you accept her password? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because in the first place, she'll handle business, questioning me about anything on my page because of my business I'm in, this and that. But I think that if a person, you know, it's okay for, I guess, a boyfriend and a girlfriend to be on the same social network. But those are places that open the doors to cheating and getting involved with other people, because you may be on there saying you're on there, well, okay, you tell your girlfriend, I'm on here networking, and say, like, you're doing photography, and you see a young lady approaches you on Facebook and say, I want to do a photo shoot. You go and do this photo shoot with this young lady, and next thing you know, she's hitting on you, or you hitting on her, and next thing you know, you've engaged in a sexual act. You know, so I just think that if it was me and my boyfriend had a social network, I think that it would be proper for me to have his password and he would have mine. That's just how I feel. That everybody else said, well, no, I don't think so. But, you know, just to let him know that there's nothing that I'm going to be doing on there that he needs to be alarmed about. And I should feel the same way about him.
I totally agree, because it's not, I have my husband's passwords. Do I use them? No. But if I wanted to, I could, and he could use mine. My thing is, if it's nothing to hide, what are you afraid of?
Right.
You should live your life in a clean way, that any text that go through my phone, I'm not going to run across the room like, oh, my God, who's that? Because I know it's appropriate.
Right.
And my husband don't have a problem. When his cell phone's ringing, he'll say, baby, pick that up for me. I can't get it. Now, if you're with a man who guards his cell phone like the nuclear button, that's a warning sign.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
a warning sign. If he has a code on his computer, his phone, you can't get into anything. That is a warning sign. If he had social networks where he's listed with no relationship or makes no mention of you ever, and he has a picture of him and all his boys and all his friends and his mom and daddy, but it's not one picture of you, that's a warning sign.
Yeah, and a lot of women see these signs, but for some reason they ignore them. You know, and I always you know, mentioned that little voice that screams in the back of your head, don't do it, don't do it, and you hear it. And that voice is telling you this for a reason. And I've learned to listen to my little voice so much because it's times when I'm driving somewhere and it'll say, don't go that route. And I'll go that route, and as soon as I go that route, the traffic is backed up, there's an accident or something. So I listen to my little voice when it says, don't do this or do this, you know, because it's there for a reason. We all have that voice that speaks to us, and sometimes it even warns us when there's danger about, you know, but you have women who will ignore it because women will say on Maury Povich, for instance, these women, they get on there, they want their mates to take a lie detector test. First thing come out their mouth, I knew you was lying. I knew you was lying. If you knew he was lying, why are you still with him? Why did you have to do the test? You know, you knew this man was a liar.
Yeah.
So I'm asking a question. So what? So are you telling me that there is no privacy in relationship? Because for me personally, I don't want your password. I
agree.
Really do believe if you look for something, you're going to find it. Now let me explain something to you. That phone could have been old phone. I could care less. Like, my whole thing is when you start looking for something, you're going to find it. I don't care what you said. I don't care how much trust you have in your mate. If you go looking for something, you're going to find it. I don't want a problem. If my marriage or if my relationship is fine, then that's great. I believe in, I don't have anything to hide. I'm very open. I'm very bold with whoever I'm dealing with at the time. So there's nothing for me to hide. But I still believe that there's a little bit of privacy. My laptop, that's my privacy. My cell phone, that's
exactly.
My privacy.
I totally agree.
If he locked his, then that's his. I don't. To me, I don't believe that's a warning sign. Now, I believe everything
now,
else as far as...
Now, can I tell you why I feel... Can I tell you the way I feel? Can I tell you why I feel the way I did?
Sure.
See, I was married before, and I was happily married for 12 years, ecstatically happy. And I felt the same way you did. I felt like, you know... His stuff is my stuff is, and I didn't pay attention to those things. It's a life lesson. It's a thing of, you know, I thought that way, oh, it doesn't matter. You look for stuff, you find it. And then, you know, things got left out one time, and I was caught. My emotions, it was just devastating to me because I was so blindsided. Because I was such an open, interesting person. And I still am an open, interesting person. But it took for me to be with a man that says, let me tell you something, baby. It's nothing ever that I have to hide. I am an open book. Do I check my husband's Facebook? No. Do I check my husband's email? But one of the things that made me fall in love with him is he said, everything here is out in the open. What's mine is yours. If you want to go through this stuff, you can. I have nothing to hide. It's my life is your life. I have nothing to hide. It's nothing.
That's
I don't
all good and dandy, but what about privacy?
I just feel like if you're saying that.
What kind of privacy do you need in a relationship? I mean, I'm
no,
asking
but I'm
you.
Just saying, okay,
what are you,
for me,
what's the private thing you need?
To me, I just think
what?
That my cell phone is private. You don't
I
need
think
to know every text that comes through my. I don't think that my phone is in. It's nothing. If my mama called 30 times, you don't need to know every 30 times that's her calling. You don't need to know every time it rings because I don't question you. I'm just trying to see like is there privacy somewhere. I do believe in privacy, and I'm not hiding anything. Especially if I'm an open-minded person, there's nothing to hide. But I still feel as though.
But do you understand the definition of private means closed? You can't say I'm an open-minded person who desires extreme privacy. If you look at the English language, the word privacy means closed. So,
well, I think there's things that you just don't necessarily want everyone to know. Your private thoughts are your private thoughts.
Yes, but we're not talking about your thoughts. We're talking about your phone. What I'm saying is, does my husband pick up my phone and scroll through my log and say, you talked to mom 3 times, you talked to Theo 7 times? No, because at that point, you're not even in a relationship. First of all, if you're with someone who's checking your phone and checking your Facebook every 3 minutes and sniffing you when you get home, that's a warning sign. We're
yeah.
not saying don't trust your mate. We're saying don't put up blockers where it's potential to hide things. Because believe it or not, when you have a phone that you guard with your life, it's easier for you if you're ever curious to step out. It's easier for that other man to call you because it's your phone. Nobody will ever check it. Nobody will ever look at it. But if you have good intentions and you are open, it's like I lay my phone on the table. I'd appreciate if you don't sit up here and scroll through it. But if it made your day because you're some insecure dude today, scroll through it. I have nothing to hide. But we don't have that relationship. I don't ever scroll through my husband's phone. I don't stalk him on Facebook or Twitter and say, who did you have lunch today with at work? Because that's called trust. But
right.
The open part is, there's nothing to hide here. Nothing to hide. If my phone
beeps. So what is the trust part then? So what's the trust part? The trust comes, I guess, is you have an open relationship and y'all talk about everything and he has your password. I guess that's the trust part, right? I guess that's what you're telling me. That's the trust part, that he don't, you trust that he don't go outside the marriage or don't go outside the relationship and do anything. But I believe that it can be the same way if I put a block on my phone. I'm just saying personally to me, I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from, and everybody has their experience of why they do what they do. That's just my opinion. I just think there's a little bit of privacy somewhere. But again, I understand what you're saying as far as being open. Yeah, I'm open, but I still think that there's some things that is mine. Like, I take care of it, you know. I don't know. Maybe y'all could teach me something.
It's,
I'm not married.
I tell you, woman to woman and sister to sister, if you are marrying a man who will not let you touch his phone, that's a bad sign. And just like if a man is marrying you and you won't ever let him touch your phone, that's a bad sign. I mean, it is. Because what if it's an emergency and he can't pick up your phone because it got 15 passwords on it and it's, I can't even get you to the doctor because he can't pick up the phone.
What's wrong with his phone?
It's wrong with his phone. Because trust goes both ways. Just because I have my husband's password, he trusts that I trust him enough that I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to catch this dude tonight. Yeah, I'm going through here. Because to me, that's just as bad. I trust him. I know women that's like that as well, but they still get cheated on. That's the thing that kills me.
Like, I know women that are like you, and they still get cheated on. That's the I don't get it. That's probably why I'm so scared to get into a relationship.
But you know,
the women that are like you. I have a cousin that's like that. I promise you, I have a family member that is like that, and I don't understand it. Like, again, I don't know what happened behind closed door, but from what we look at it on the outside, and when we over and visit, whatever, everything is peach and cream.
The reason for him cheating is because probably he was a cheater anyway, and probably she's not the first person that he cheated on. So he gets in every relationship and he cheats. That's what cheaters do. Regardless of whatever she does, right? Because like I said, I've been in relationships with guys who cheated on me, and that was their record. Because after we even broke up, they, you know, I could still see them being with this one, that one, you know. So it's cheaters who make it bad for the real men. And obviously she got with a cheater, a person who does that to women. Now, he may say he loved her and cared for her and all this kind of stuff like they generally do, but a cheater is a cheater, and he's going to cheat. So, you know, it wasn't like she wasn't, you know, doing her part, because I definitely was doing my part, but it was just a matter that I got with cheaters. You know.
And see, what people have to understand, that cheaters have nothing to do with you. A person who cheats, let me tell you something. My husband has to trust the fact, I'm a stay-at-home mom. He has given me the privilege to stay at home and raise my children, to follow my dreams, to do what I do, and he takes care of the house. He has to have trust that I'm not a desperate housewife when he leaves for 8 to 10 hours a day. Cheating has absolutely nothing to do with that other person. The only thing you could do is be the best person you can be. So you're talking about hunky-dory relationships. I mean, you just can't control. The only person you can control is yourself. I don't look at my husband as a person. I don't ever say what anybody can't do. I will never say what somebody won't do,
because you cannot predict what another person will do. Do I think my husband loves me? Yes. Do I think my husband will cheat on me? No. But will I ever sit here and say, oh, my God, he will never, ever, I give my life? No, you can't say that for anyone because you don't know what people do. Humans are unpredictable. But what you can do is say, I live my life a certain way. And what happens is when I live my life a certain way, when you mess up and you lose this, you're going to always get the short end of the stick because you're going to always say, I messed up. I lost that one. I lost that one. And I don't play in relationships. I'm all about love and respect, and I'm a very strong woman. And in past relationships, I've been cheated on. Okay. And what happened? I dropped them like a bad habit. And what happened? They called, they begged, they called, they begged. I still have guys 10, 15 years ago still saying, you the girl who got away. Why are you even Facebooking me? But see, that's the problem that women have. They get these guys that cheat, and they tolerate them. They don't ever require them to be anything better than what they are. And they sit up there and they deal with it and they tell you, oh, my relationship is great. But let me tell you something. Every woman knows her man. Your cousin who's sitting up there grinning in your face, whose husband is cheating, she know that man is cheating. Everybody know her man. Unless she's deaf, dumb, and retarded.
Is that what you call love is blind or sickness love? Is that what you call love is blind?
Yeah,
no, because love's not blind.
That's a sickness of love. Love is blind. You can love somebody so much that you'll ignore everything he does because you want it to work so bad. You like it how it feels when it's good between y'all. You like him being there. So you'll tolerate a lot of stuff. You just don't see your life without that person. And sometimes we women, especially when you get in long-term relationships, you think, well, maybe I would never get anybody to love me like he do or take care of me like he does or, you know, love me that way like he does. And you just give up, and you just settle. And I think a lot of us women, we settle. We get so scared that if we leave this dude, no other dude's going to look at us. But you have to realize that I've always felt, one thing my mother gave me is confidence. I'm like Beyonce. It's going to be somebody else just like you around the corner, so.
That's right. Right. I can get five of you in a minute. Beyonce said, I can have five of you in a minute.
Yeah.
She said, I can have another one, but I say, I can have five of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't ever think no one else would ever love you again. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of women. They think, oh, nobody else gonna want me. I've gotten too chubby or I'm too old now. Or men gonna love women from the end of time. They love fat women, skinny women, pretty women, ugly women, smart women, dumb women. Men love
women. Right,
there's
somebody out there for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah, it definitely is. So,
but cheating has nothing to do with that person.
Right. Because, you know, the other person, sometimes they're oblivious of it. But when you find that out, it's best that you can do whatever you want to do. Because, like, some women stay because they may have low self-esteem or they may have been just beat down so much until they think this is the only man that they're ever going to get. But
they don't want to break up their family.
Right, that is true. But, you know, you're putting your family through misery by being with this person as well because they're not doing anything good for the family. So, you know, it's best you take your family and leave, you know, because women have been raising children alone for years, decades, you know. And, you know, they say it's hard for a woman to raise a boy, but I think if you women can raise a boy, maybe not as well as a man because some things that men have to be there for that little boy. But if she has a role model, maybe an uncle or somebody like that can step in and help. But to be in a relationship with somebody who does not love you because cheating is not a form of love, even though the cheater thinks it is, because that's just how they are. They tell you, because, for instance, the guy who was cheating on me, he told me, and I ate it up. He told me, he said, well, after I found out he was cheating, he tells me, well, you know, you the queen bee. You the one I come home to. And those other ones, they don't mean nothing to me. And I'm saying to myself, but, you know, I was young. I was like in my 20s at that particular time. And, you know, first time falling in love with somebody, you eat all this stuff up because you don't know any better. So I, you know, okay, I'm the queen bee. You know, but then after a while, that gets kind of worn out because you get tired of the foolishness. You know, and I had one girl, she was actually a stalker. I mean, she stalked me for 2 years. And she was doing all kind of things. And, you know, it was just like I got to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore. So we was in a relationship for 13 years.
Wow.
But, you know, after, you know, just going through this and going through that, I said, hey, I can't do this anymore, you know. So we broke up, you know. But me staying in, and not the whole 13 years was bad. You know, we had some beautiful, I mean, beautiful years together. But when it got to the point of him, you know, wanting to cheat, because and his mother and his father both were cheaters, you know, so cheating is a taught or learned behavior. So he got it honest.
Yeah.
He got it honest, and after we broke up, he was still doing the same thing, you know, having this girlfriend, that girlfriend, and whatever. But I just cannot. And now I wouldn't be in a relationship knowing someone is cheating on me if I'm in a loving relationship. You know, I've been in relationships. Friends with benefits or sexual relationships and things like that. But if I'm in a committed relationship and a guy cheats on me, that's going to have to be cut short.
Yeah.
Because I've
learned,
and I also,
you know, find it ironic that, and I think this is funny, that when we talk about cheating, the same guys who will cheat on you will darn near kill you if you cheat on him.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, they
start
will.
Start crying and ready to kill you. Like, what? Well, wait a minute.
Yes,
I'm
they will.
You just brought a baby home, and you had a nurse.
I know.
It was just, like, crazy because I've seen a situation like that, and he brought a baby home, yada, yada. Months went by. She accepted the baby. Everybody's a happy family now, and I think she had a number in her purse, and he damn married, like, had a fit. Like, the number was in the purse. And you see the number in the phone. It's not like she called him or nothing. It's just a number in the purse, and started crying, like, having a damn fit. Like, all right, just wait a minute.
Right.
And
that's crazy because just like the relationship that I was in with that guy for 13 years, he cheated on me. And a guy who I went to junior high school with, I had ran into him. And he had given me his phone and he wrote it on the back of a match cover, right? So when I got home, I just put it on the dresser. And he saw it. So he said, who is this? And I told him who it was because he knew the guy as well. So he's accusing me of this guy, saying all kind of crazy things. And I said to him, first of all, why would you? I wouldn't even left the number up there for you to see it if I was trying to hide something, because I would have put the number in my drawer. But I just put it on the dresser, you know, because he gave me the number. You know, we just was talking about back in the day and all this so crazy stuff. And he just was going crazy. But when I said something about him cheating, well, you know, before he admitted and stuff, well, you know, she lying and all this and that. You know, she wasn't lying because in the end, I actually caught them together, you know. So that's really what pushed me right on out the door because I was hearing things and, you know, things were being told to me. Even the girl was telling me things, but, you know, I'm just laying low, waiting and, you know, seeing what was going to be coming. Then when I caught them, you know, together, it was a done deal.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, so they get all hurt and they get their feelings all involved. When you and then another thing, when you cheat on a man, he cannot forgive it and he will not let it go.
Mm-mm. Never.
They will not. But when a woman cheats, we forgive that man. You know, try to get right back to where it was and, you know, doing everything right. But men, for some reason, they can't let it go. They want to kill us, you know, and do all kind of crazy things to us, you know. So I just think that women who are with these men who cheat, you need to get out of that relationship and get into a loving relationship, because it's somebody out there that's going to love these women, you know, but they just don't take the time to get out and find them, you know, or, you know, they always say, well, I don't really feel like starting all over again. So you're going to be with crap for the rest of your life, opposed to getting out and getting with somebody that's going to be worth your time.
You know, I promised myself a long time.
To piggyback off of something you all just said, to each his own, but I know in my life, there are certain things, and I do have certain things that are on my absolutely no list, and we will speak of those things, and irregardless of what the state I think our relationship or anything is, you cross that line, I'm done. I don't care who you are. There is no forgiveness. Because I feel as though a person picks and chooses how they want to live their life. And you just told me you want to live your life a way that I don't want to participate in. So go over there with God's seed. That's to you. Okay? I'm not wishing you nothing, no harm, no nothing. But just stay your ass over there and stay out of my way, because otherwise you're going to have a problem. and there's no ifs, ands, no buts about that. But see, I guess part of it is because I do live by that model of treating people the way I want to be treated, and I do
Excuse
not
me, somebody's
believe,
television in the background. Can you please turn it down?
I do not believe in secrecies and things like that when you're in that committed relationship, and I do not believe that you can be in a committed relationship when you let outside entities inside your relationship. That's just my
opinion. That's right. You can't have any open doors. And and I don't want this to turn into a men bash section, because the truth is women are just as wild and trifling. And
that's
true. I know someone who has I just know a woman whose child belongs to her husband's best friend. And
wow.
They have been, this kid is almost a teenager now, and everybody knows except the husband. He's completely oblivious, even though the kid looks like the best friend. So, women are, you know,
underhanded.
We have to be, we're underhanded, and we have to also be responsible for our relationships, because the truth is, I don't believe in victimhood. If every man you with cheats on you or beats you up or takes your money, every guy you with, that means that's something you're attracted to.
Yeah.
That's something that you like. That's something that gets you off. So the person you need to evaluate is yourself and, you know, get some help and try to change why you keep attracting these same type of people.
Well, we have a call. I'm going to bring this caller in. See if they have a question or comment. Caller 202-705, you have a question or comment?
I just got a comment. Valerie, she took the words right out of my mouth. She said before we start turning it into a male bashing talk show or whatnot, yeah, I will be the first to say that, you know, sometimes guys, we only do what women allow us to do. If y'all allow us to be dogs, then we're going to bark real loud. If you allow us to, you know, keep secrets in the house, that's what we're going to do. If you hold us at a higher standard, then we will adhere to that higher standard. You know, if you, you know, or have an old well attitude, then, you know, if we've been doing this before we got into the relationship, then we'll continue to do that and whatnot. I think women, you know, just need to hold us at a higher standard, you know. So and once they do that, it makes it easy to deal with the man. And then once you do find out if he's cheating or if he's, like, you know, have female friends online, they're having, like, improper relationships, you know, you shouldn't give him a second chance, you know, because if he's doing it once, he'll do it again, because that's his comfort zone, you know, just like how women, you know, I hate to be sexist, but how some men do to have, like, comfort food, you know, some men, you know, if not all of us, you know, we do, you know, we'll tend to have comfort relationships, like if, you know, at home is not stroking our ego, or if at home is not supportive enough, or if at home is not being freaky enough, then, you know, if we're not, you know, secure in our own selves, then, yeah, we do look outside a relationship, which is not a good thing. But, you know, if these things, like I think Robert has said, if these things are done continuously to you, then you actually allow this, you actually invite this. So, you know, it's up to, you know, women to put a stop to it. And, you know, flipping that coin over, if men are in a relationship where women just, you know, running over them, then the men allow that. So the men have to be like, oh, my self-worth is more than the way that you're treating me.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
That's the
way. Yeah, I didn't want to turn into a man bashing.
Yeah. I mean, y'all was kind of kicking it kind of hard. Yeah, true. And it's definitely a two-way street. I mean, and for a person that cheats, you know, we're talking about love here, you know, that's also another kind of love. It's like, you know, they don't have self-love. You know, the higher your self-love is, the better person that you'll attract. I think Violet said that last night, on Monday night, on Red Snapper's radio show. But the thing is, sometimes people overstate their worth. Like, you want the best, you know, that ideal mate that I was talking about earlier in the show about, you know, you have that that romantic ending, you know, that fairy tale ending and whatnot. But, man, no woman should overstate exactly where they are in life. Like, okay, if I know I want a woman that's goal-driven, you know, wants to better herself, but, you know, and I'm putting out that vibe that that's what I want to complete me, but I'm, you know, for the lack of better words, if I'm bullshitting, but that's the vibe I'm putting out. And then after a while, I'm putting up that front. The true me eventually will come out, and she or he will see, like, you know, that person bullshit. So you have to be honest with yourself at where you're at that point in time in your life. If not, then, you know, you're just asking for one big headache.
That's true.
Great, that's so insightful.
Right, and I do agree with you 100% when you said that, you know, men will do exactly what a woman lets him do. And that is a known fact, because you women have the power. We have the power to, you know, put an end to all the misery and strife that men causes us. But sometimes we give that power to that man. And it's no need to do that.
Well, you know, I'm reading, as we say about the power, I'm reading this book called Women Have All the Power, Too Bad They Don't Know It, by Michael Lockwood. And I just had my video blog about the things, the do's and don'ts that men know that they would never tell women, about, like, what they like, what they don't like. But it says your power is your sex, your love between your legs, and you shouldn't give it out so freely.
Mm-mm.
Because that's the ultimate. That's what men love. They love you, but they also love that.
Right,
but I don't agree with that. And the reason that I don't agree with that, because women have...
I don't agree with him at all. I don't believe in holding the pussy hostage. No.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're right, because women have needs. So, like, if you do that, like, you know, we all seen the Steve Harvey movie and whatnot. It was a great movie, and we read the book, good book. But you can't play that, you know, that game. I understand that, you know, if it would be nice or ideal for us to be in a committed relationship and married before we have sex, but we're talking about today's society. So if a woman was to play that game and whatnot, you know, you might get what, you know, Mr. TNT. So he's going to play the game, and when he get it, you know, he, you know, string you out. Now you stuck.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, I tried that attempt with my husband, and I lasted about maybe a day and a half. And I thought, why am I depriving myself?
Exactly, because you got me. But
exactly.
I was watching your vlog yesterday, and in that book it makes great points. It says how a man should pay attention to how a woman takes care of herself, like by doing small things, and that lets you know that she takes pride in her overall self. You know, and I do agree with that.
I just want to promote my blog real quick. PinkBunny420.blogspot.com. Thank you.
Say that again.
Okay.
Pink Bunny.
Say it again.
Pink Bunny. Pink, B-U-N-E, 420.blogspot.com. And I have my little blog about, you know, what he says in this book. And it's really insightful about how a woman speaks, how she takes care of her teeth, how she takes care of her feet and fingers. Those things add up.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Well, I know my view in regard to sex, period, and relationship. If sex is part of that relationship, it's part of that relationship. A relationship is a living entity of its own. You can starve it. You can kill it. You can build it. It can grow.
Yes.
If it's part of that, if it's part of that relationship, him nor her has the right to withhold it. For that manipulation stuff. I just,
don't believe in it. And I think when you open certain windows, you let certain spirits in, let's put it like that. So if it's part of that relationship, it belongs to the relationship. But sometimes I think people put too much emphasis on that, and that's what they tend to try to build a relationship on. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't
work. Yeah, it doesn't work at all. And what we have to keep balanced with it, though, because the truth is, if girls stop sleeping with every man they meet, they won't be hurt. Because I believe in dating. Like, when you're single, date 100 men a day. But you don't supposed to sleep with every man you date. And
that's
true. I think the problem is that women, they sleep with all these men, but they don't understand that men don't respect that. And the truth is, you're trying to get all this, you know, you look at too much TV and you think you're supposed to be so freaky. You meet a man on the first date, you tossing his salad and doing all type of stuff.
Yeah.
He's known you for 4 hours.
Salad tossing.
You
want to
wife you.
No. That's a 6-month mark.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
really?
Why would he want to wipe you? Because if you could do that for him in 4 hours, you could do it for another dude in 3. If nothing phenomenal or special about that person in 4 hours, I don't care who y'all.
I'm sorry, I just got a great joke because you said they do it in 4 hours. It depends how much, I guess, is it a regret they have on that salad, but I digress. Go ahead.
I mean, we have to seek balance with these things. And I'm a woman. I'm a very sexual woman. And I don't believe in rationing out sex. I don't want my husband rationing out to me, and I'm not going to do it to him. To me, I think that's cruel. I don't think you should ever hold sex over somebody's head to manipulate them to do things. I don't even want to be in a relationship with a person like that.
To me, the grown woman knows that if you get to know someone, that the sex is going to be 10 times better.
Yeah. Because half of the battle is mental.
Yeah, this is true. And to touch on the topic, you know, go back to that book that you're reading. I'm so sorry to cut you off. Pink Buddy is about that women have all the power. I know that women have all the power and whatnot. If you take a quick look at history and whatnot, and on the show we don't, you know, discuss religion and not to offend somebody, but I'm going to touch on the Bible just right quick. Like, you take a look at Samson, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he was the strongest guy, and a woman was his downfall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how women have so many guy problems, and a woman can have a man wrap it around his finger and don't even come nowhere near close to being intimate with him. Guys suffer from a superhero complex. We always want to save a woman.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to save a woman. So if a woman, I'm not saying to seem like weak and helpless, but God made y'all, you know, I guess less in certain areas because some things is not intended for y'all to do. You know, a woman is not, you know, for the most part, not intended to do physical work over a long haul. God didn't design you that way, but he gave you the most power because men, we can't carry babies. So I'm saying all that to say this and whatnot. Men, you know, we always want to be there, even the bad guys. You know, to a certain extent, we always want to be there. Women take that and they equate that to, like, somebody told them so wrong, to use what you got to get what you want. You know, if you're using sex and then at the end of the night your bed is still empty, then you're using the wrong thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you just have to be smart about, you know, what you do and who you do it with. And I'm in total agreement about, you know, yeah, like, if you're a single date, 100 guys, and like she said, you don't have to sleep with all of them. But, you know, you once you do sleep with them or not, make sure you know what it is when you're going in. You know, just because you give yourself a thought, talk about, oh, I'm in love now. No, you had a need that needs to be met. You take care of that need. You're like, okay, you got to go. I have to go. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have always come to the conclusion that men don't understand anything unless they can feel or they work for it. So if everything about you is so easy, so breezy, so obtainable, where's the challenge in that? Not saying that you have to be to the extreme so difficult, but the point is, I mean, just like, for example, most guys, if they go out to a club and a girl just trying to hand it to him, he might hit it, but he ain't going to never see her again because he doesn't like that. It's no challenge. Men are hunters. And if we just lay down
nature.
Yeah, I mean, we just lay down like dead prey. I mean, do you even want something that'll lay dead at your feet, really? And I think a lot of us just give away all our power. It just gets to the point, I'll live for you, I'll die for you,
I'll sell my children to you. I mean, when I look at, I mean, don't sleep on it, because it was a big old case here in Atlanta last year with this fool of a woman, which I think she should have got a death penalty, let this man rape all of her sons for years just because she wanted to keep him. Women are freaking sick when it comes to trying to keep some men.
And but, you know, part of that comes from this, what I call bullshit, that people buy into. What you won't do, the next one will. There's 8 women for every man, all this kind of stuff. Okay, this is the thing. I'm not going to say none of that may not be true, but I'm who I am. I have to decide who real is. And once I decide who real is, it ain't nobody out here who's going to be able to take me out of who I am. Okay,
that's
for
right.
No reason. And I don't care, because love won't make you try to change. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
With part
Ooh,
of love,
not for
you
the
want
worst
to
anyway.
Accept. You want to accept that person. You want to concede when it comes to certain things, but 9 times out of 10, you are going to end up working as a pair when it comes to you know, coming to whatever conclusion that is workable for the both of you all. It's not a one-sided thing. And, you know, too many people, especially these women out here, are buying into that. And you know what? I tell you what, if that's what you want, then you need to go back out there, because you know what? You're not the person for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That is true.
Okay, well, ladies, do me a favor if y'all don't mind. Define love. Give me a definition of love, what you believe love to be.
I'll go first.
Can you say that one more again?
Define what love is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I think love is one of the absolute strongest entities that has ever been created. I don't know if I always agree with that it's unconditional, but it has a strength of its own. When it comes to male female, and I can only talk about male female because that's how I live my life. There's respect. There's caring. There's a lot of times that person's needs, we tend to put them above our own. Okay, but we don't lack taking care of our own, because that person's not going to let us lack taking care of our own, because just like we're doing that, they're going to be doing the same thing. A mother's love, which I can speak on, has moved mountains. You know, we had a sinkhole here in Chicago, and her son lifted a car up off of her other son. Okay, during when that sinkhole fell in a foreign city. So to me, love is really undefinable, because we can try to put words to it, and as we try to define it, next thing you know, we adding on. But love is one of the good things. Love is one of the fruits of our labor. Love is one of good things in our life, but love is also something that has to be worked toward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, well said.
Okay,
next.
Who's next?
Preach.
For me, love is something that is the greatest gift that God has given humanity, because that is the only thing that surpasses everything. It surpasses money and houses and time and death, and it's strong and it's sacred and it's forgiving and it's about respect and truly learning how to treat someone the way you want to be treated. It's giving somebody the ability to crush you, but trusting that they will not. And like she said, mother's love and romantic love is two different things.
Right.
And you can't even compare it. Like the way I love my children, the way I love my husband is so far from the left to the right from each other, is not even in the same ball field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you cannot define it, but you know what it's not when you feel it. Instantly.
Mm.
You know exactly what it is not. It's almost like instantaneously. Love will never give you a feeling of guilt or dread or, you know, a bad conscience or that you need to go repent for something. That's not, you know, it's built in our souls
that already grades against who we are.
True.
It's like we have an anti-love gene.
Okay, who's next?
I can go.
Danny.
Go ahead, Pink Bunny.
Okay.
I said who was Pink Bunny doing?
Pink Bunny's gone. Okay, so love, a mother's love is unconditional. And I would imagine romantic love is the same, unconditional. Like, you just can't imagine your life without that person. Somehow, that's love. Being in love, to be continued.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. The question was, what is love to me? Was that just the question, what is love? I couldn't really hear him. Because I hear everybody saying mother love and woman. Is that the question?
Well,
it's just what's love.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
It's just what is love to you.
Oh, okay, because everybody's touching on mother love. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, we have to get deep in here. Love to me is to give everything you have and not expect anything in return.
Okay. Is that?
I can't co-sign on that, but I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it. I mean, I feel the sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's my turn. Well, to me, love is kind. It's not boasting. It's not jealousy. It's the opposite of anything that's not love, things that are negative. There's no jealousy in love. There's no boasting and wishing bad feelings on somebody if there's love involved. And love can be unconditional. And then there's different types of love, because you love your family one way, your children, your significant other, your friends, your neighbors, but it's still love. And in that package of love, you have those things that you won't wish any bad things or bad feelings upon your neighbor or your friend. And, you know, you just have to be a giving person. And, you know, like Danny has said, love is, what did you say, love is giving and not respecting anything in return?
That's me.
Okay, now, that can, well, you know, that sounds, you always have to give to receive. And, you know, you love somebody, naturally they're going to love you back, you know, and you don't have to really expect that. But if you love somebody, it is going to be returned to you, especially if it's a kind of love that is a good, wholesome love. You know, someone that you can depend on, someone who loves you, takes care of you, looks out for you, got your back. Practically somebody who would die for you is what I consider love. Because if I asked my husband, would you die for me? And if he said yes, then there has got to be some love there. You know, because I just can't just tell anybody that I would die for them, not unless I had that deep love for them. You know, because we also have to remember that Jesus Christ died for us. That was love. That's the type of love that if everybody felt that way, you know, as far as like loving somebody, then I think the world would be in such a better state than what it is now. There's a lot of false love going around, a lot of false caring, a lot of false, you know, feelings for people. And you have to beware and you have to be careful of those types of people that you come across that tell you, yeah, I love you, but all they want is something from you. So, you know, love is something that a person who is love can recognize it. And I want to say something that Smokey Robinson has said, and I love him to death. I love Smokey's last year's Dirty Draws. He said that, and listening to his music is even love. He said he loves the idea of being in love. He loves love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once you love love, then you can display that love, and people will know that you're a person who has that love because you have this aura about you. you know, it's just like when a person falls in love with somebody, they have an aura about them, because like the very first time I fell in love with somebody, people was asking me, girl, you are just so happy. What, are you in love? You know, and it's like you have this aura about you. People can actually know these things. So I'm like Smokey. I love love, and I love being in love, even though I've only been in love once in my life. But the feeling that I was experiencing during that time was a feeling that I would really like to have again in my life, but I don't think it'll ever happen again. But
of course it will.
Well, maybe, you know,
you
but
stop looking for it. As soon as you stop looking for it,
right,
it'll
find that
you.
That is true, but yeah, because when I fell in love, I didn't even know that it was, I wasn't expecting that to happen. But when I did, if I could have that feeling again, you know, it's a beautiful feeling, and people need to respect the fact of love. Stay out of other people's relationships when you know that somebody's married. Stay out of somebody's relationship when you know that this person is obligated and dedicated to this person, you know. Not to say that that person doesn't have their, they have their part in it as well, so you have to also say, well, I'm married or I'm in a relationship. You know, you have to be committed to that person if that's the person you want, if that's the person you love. We're speaking of love here. So if you love somebody, you're not going to hurt them. You love somebody, you're going to be true to them. You're going to be honest and faithful and caring to them. That's who you are going to be with, that person that you love. You cannot be with somebody else and say, oops, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I love you. No, it does not work like that, because you don't fall. A man does not fall into a woman's vagina, and a woman does not fall on a man's dick. So there's no excuse and no reason for that. So you cannot say, I'm sorry, I
you
didn't
know
mean
what?
It.
What if it's black?
You know,
what, the reality?
You know, the only...
Almost that time we get away from childhood, we don't make too many damn mistakes. We make choices.
Yeah.
You don't make mistakes. They just didn't turn out the way you wanted them to. And they use that word mistake and throw it around. Like, no, you made a choice. And that's why I said what I said when you all spoke on the cheating. Because you made that choice. So go back over there with the choice you made and stay over there.
Right.
No more.
This is true.
Okay. So
but you know what? Only once, I have to say. And I think this is the exception, not the rule. So I'm not giving any encouragement to cheaters out there. But only once, I remember, I interned as a chaplain a few years ago. And this man, after his family left, and, you know, when I walked in the room, he had pictures of his wife everywhere. And his wife had passed, you know, like 10 years, and he has like an altar to his wife. And I come in after his family leaves, this man breaks down crying, and he said, I've been holding this in my heart for 30 years. Him and his wife were married for like 60 years. He said he cheated on her one time, like in the 15th year of her marriage. And he felt so bad about it that he, you know, pledged the rest of his life to make her happy. She never found out about it, but the guilt had killed him for like 35 years. So in that way, a man, I don't think before he cheated on her, he realized that he loved his wife. It wasn't until after he did it, he realized that he was going to potentially lose the best thing that ever happened to him. And I think that could happen. I mean, because it did in his case, but that's the story. That's his side of the story. But, you know, I think, like I said, that's the exception, not the rule. I don't know any, I don't know many people who were converted by adultery. So, you know.
That's
a hopeful thing for some people choosing to forgive and continue their relationships, that they could turn around and they could be a better man or a better woman.
Right, but you're going to always have it in the back of your mind, he cheated on me, you're going to be so precautious, and, you know, it's just going to drive you crazy. So in that case, not unless you are really, and, you know, you have to give him and forget. Because if you forgive him and you still hold on to the fact that he cheated, we're always going to be wondering, as soon as he go, I'm going to the store, what's going to go through your mind? Well, the last time he went to the store, he didn't come back for 2 days. And, you know, so it's best, you know, sometimes it's best if you just let that person go. You know, now, not to say that sometimes people have worked it out, you know, and got back with together and had a beautiful relationship from that point. But, you know, when you have to keep worrying yourself, because I'm not going to keep worrying myself to death.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to die over the fact of worrying about you cheated on me once and I think you're doing it again. No, you're going to be gone.
You know,
I've learned my lesson.
Love takes time to build. That's part of the work that we do, because you are bringing two. I only speak on man, woman. You are bringing two entities together to basically form one, and they are their own person. They are their own. They have their own ways. So yes, you have to work and you have to mold and you have to shape, and you are going to end up finding your core, and then you build and you build and you build and you build. When you do things that distract from that, you're building a foundation. You're putting cracks in that foundation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak for me, okay, and I would never speak for nobody else. You build that house and that cracked foundation, eventually it may actually break, okay?
Yep.
So you can try to say, I'm going to forget and I'm going to this, that, and the other. Well, I can tell you right now, that's not me. I ain't forgetting shit, okay? And I ain't giving nothing. If you make a choice that you want to do something outside of the bounds of what we already have built and know that exists between us, then Godspeed. But I can only speak, for, like I said, for me when it comes to that. And I think when you live, if you live with those things in the back of your head, that trust has already been compromised.
Right.
It's not what's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen, because it's going to happen.
This,
and it could be the littlest thing. And it could be totally, that he or she could be totally innocent, but it looks a certain way to you. And then you act on it when really you actually acting on what happened X amount of time ago. So, you really have, in my opinion, you have to put that work in, you have to put that effort in, and you need to treat that person the way you want to be treated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you live according to certain, those guidelines, you won't be doing all that other stuff. But the problem with today's society is too many people don't know what the hell boundaries are.
Yeah.
They don't know,
you hit the nail on the head.
You have to stop. First of all, you don't put yourself in certain situations, and guess what? Things can't just happen, you know?
Yeah.
I'll give you a prime example. There's a man that's here in the city who's married to this woman. Him and this co-worker had to work late at the bank one night. And she asked him when they were leaving. They leaving the bank at like 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
She asked him, would you give me a ride home? And he looked at her, and when they got outside, he flagged the cab, put in the cab, paid the cab to take her home, and
that's
he got
right.
his car and went home. So
yeah.
his wife asked him, why didn't you just drop her off? He said, oh, she couldn't get in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he set his boundary. Okay, whatever his reason for doing that was, he set his boundary. And nowadays people don't set boundaries. We don't set boundaries with ourselves. A lot of times we certainly are going brainwashed there with our kids, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like we look what's happening around us. Everything is going, you know, but that's just me.
You really hit the nail right on the head. Boundaries is everything. We touched on that earlier. Like, you have to know yourself. You have to set boundaries. People always playing games. That's why people always tell me, I made a mistake cheating, because they always tell me, I didn't know it was going to happen. Whenever you let in opportunity, anything can happen. If you know you looking at this lady, you think her legs are hot, you ain't going over her house to help her move on Saturday. For what? Tell her to hire a mover. Yeah, I mean, if you know this man, every time he walked by, he smelled so good, it make you tingle. Why in the world would you jump in his car and want to go to lunch together?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people play games all the time. And to me, it's not a mistake, because you made the choice to do that. You made the choice because you was curious. You thought he was attractive. You thought she was attractive. You wanted to be next to them. You liked the way they talked to you. You liked the way they looked. You liked the feeling that they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel guilty when you call home. Then you should talk. You're real shaky on the phone when your spouse calls. and ain't even done it yet.
That is too funny.
So you know you're guilty already.
That is too, too
Yeah, they
funny.
Have
you know what? You know that the old adage, parents, my mama told me, if it feels wrong, it is.
Yeah.
You can kind of fool yourself all because you know when, once you get about three or four at the most, you know the difference between right and wrong, okay?
Yeah.
So yeah. 30 and 40, don't come back, oh, I didn't know that was – no, you just didn't know – you didn't think you were going to get caught. You
yes.
didn't think that was going to be the outcome. So, you know, it's like – so, you treat people the way you want to be treated, and life tends to be much easier for you.
You know, I have this guy friend who likes to go clubbing, and he's married, and he swears, oh, I'm so faithful to my wife. So one day he's out, and he's collecting phone numbers, but he swears he doesn't call any of them. He's like, sometimes I just like to feel like I still got it, but I throw them all away. So one day he's at the bar talking trash to this girl, right? And both of them drunk as a skunk. The girl turns around and, like, basically rattles him and kisses him in the mouth, and he gets all scared because he's in a place where everybody knows him and his wife, and he gets terrified, and he pays and he leaves. And I was like, well, you sit up here talking nasty to a stranger and everybody drunk. You playing games.
Yeah.
And I think his wife would be well within her means to, like, really vamp out on him, because I would be livid if I knew my husband was talking dirty to some chick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I hear people saying now I'm a natural born flirt, and that almost every time I hear that, it's like, okay. So let me one of the differences between us and animals is that we have logic and we have control. You know,
right?
So you're a natural born flirt, so you can't control yourself. So you can't you. In other words, you're not responsible for anything that happened around you, but you're an adult, right? You're a man or a woman, right? Yeah, right, okay.
When people say that,
don't know no better.
Right. When people say that they're a natural born flirt, you know, that's just a built-in excuse to not change the music that they know that's bad. You know,
exactly.
And they're letting you know that. So when you meet them, you know, and you know, they let you know off the bridge you're dating. They're like, well, you know, I'm a natural born flirt. That doesn't mean anything. It's what I do. You know, and if you accept that, the person's not—they're not wrong anymore because they told you what they were.
And
if you continue on in a relationship in any capacity, you have no right to be upset, mad, or whatever comes from that, because they told you from the break. You know, I didn't get a chance to actually define what I thought love meant to me. And love is such a broad scope. We know what God love is and whatnot. He so loved us that He gave His only Son. We know that nothing is passed to a mother love, you know, nothing at all. Because I could call, you know, I could call home and be like, you know, just, you know, have a little conversation. If my mother came, my voice something wrong, and she'd just say, baby, it's going to be okay. I don't give a damn what was going on. It was all right because my mother said so. Mother love is like, you know, the love that the father has for his daughter. And I'm speaking from experience now. I love my baby girls so much it's not even funny. But one love I will attempt to speak on is between, you know, man and woman. I'll keep it real brief. I think, you know, my definition or my understanding of love is that it's a misunderstanding between two people. And what I mean by that, you know, you have two people that had lived two separate lives before they met, and they try to force what they believe is love into, you know, what would work for them instead of taking time out to, like, getting to know one another. So, you know, you always put your best foot forward. You always sell your best self. And sometimes your best self is not your true self. You know, you're always smiling. You're always witty. You're going to laugh at his jokes. You're going to laugh at her jokes. You're always going to put your best self forward. My thing is, I think when you're dating or you're getting to know a person, put your truest self first and let a person decide, do I want to deal with the true you, not the you that you're trying to sell me.
Right.
That's
that is
the
true.
Way I look at it. You know, because and that's a trained behavior. Because when you were a kid, you know, your mother popped the pepper piss out you, you know, if you're acting up, you know, can you act right? So when you get to meet people, you act right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I'm not saying you open up your closet and you know, you tell all your dirty business on the first, second, or third date. But if this is a potential mate or somebody that you're going to be with for some time, then you have to gradually let this person know exactly who you are, you know, who you hope to grow to be. But if you know that and you have no drive, no determination, if you know that, you know, your credit is messed up, if you know that, you know, you got baby mama drama, or, you know, if you're sleeping with, you know, baby daddy and you got a boyfriend, you know, let that person know who you truly are and let them decide if they really want to deal with you or not.
Exactly.
Right. That's right. The truth. If a person
exactly.
does that, it'll be better relationships going on, opposed to you going into a relationship with this facade that, yeah, I make $100,000 a year, knowing that you don't. You live in your mother's basement, driving her car, and all this so crazy stuff. You know, tell the truth, because, you know, the truth sometimes, the truth may hurt sometimes, but it's better to tell the truth than a lie, because a lie can destroy so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I let people know, well, if I, you know, because when I started my, you know, writing and everything, guys would say, well, you don't never go out, you don't want to go out. I say, it's not that I don't want to go out. Right now I'm trying to establish myself with my business and trying to get that off the ground. If you can hang with me then, you know, it'll be all good. But if you can't, you know, it's no need in us even trying to start a relationship, because I'm going to do what I have to do, and that's get my business together. You know, and I've had guys that say, well, you know, I feel sorry you don't ever get out. But I get out. Yes, I do. But it's just not with you, because your intentions mm-hmm. are not the intentions that I feel that are right for me anyway. Because you don't want, mm-hmm. all you're thinking about is yourself. You know, I'm letting you know what I do, why I do it. And if you can't hang with me while I'm doing it, then we don't need to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you up front.
One of the greatest things that I've come across in the last probably 2 years is that saying that they attribute to Dr. Maya Angelou. When a person shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe it.
That's right.
And
believe it.
I think what we end up doing sometimes, especially I know women do it, okay, mm-hmm. we, you know, because we go from 0 to 10 in about 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And we, oh Lord, the thoughts that be going through our head, and the things that's like, you know, this guy say women are unstable creatures, and I was listening to him say this for over a year, and then I got involved in a situation where I did that 0 to 10 in that, you know, 5 minutes, and I was like, I just started laughing. I said, you know what, he right. You ain't even went nowhere yet, and it's like you like, oh, well, we could possibly do this, and we could possibly do that. So I know we tend to look at people sometimes as who we want them to be.
Right.
We see certain things, and we just build on that instead of what is right there before your eyes. When a person show you who they are, accept it. And if that person does not compliment the what you're looking for in a mate, if you're looking for a mate, then guess what? Why waste your time?
Yep,
oh, you
won't
change them?
Right.
They ain't going to happen, because you can't change them. Only they can change themselves.
Right. Well, we're down to the last. Did somebody want to say something? Because we have about 2 minutes to go.
That's okay.
And
go ahead.
I really wanted to thank Violet for coming on. We're going to give her a great big we appreciate,
you know, like,
you coming on tonight.
Awesome. This is the best blog talk I have been on.
All right. Thank you. You're more than welcome to come back. You know, anytime you want to come back, just shoot me or either my producer, DK Walker, an email, and we'll have you back on anytime.
Okay. This is
awesome. Oh, thank you. And I appreciate my co-hosts and my producer and everybody who came out tonight. I really do appreciate you guys. And I'm going to say good night. Everybody have a safe rest of the week, a beautiful weekend, and see you guys next week.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
You must be a sad, sad girl. If you have no one to love, 'cause I'm a sad, sad boy.
Yes, he's a sad, sad boy.
Simply 'cause I have no one to love. You know we are two. happens every day.
Yes, it does.
Maybe love will come our way to a
sad, sad girl and boy. Maybe love will come our way to a sad, sad girl and boy.
To a sad, sad girl and boy. To a sad, sad girl and boy.
Everybody, and thank you.